Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, April the 6th of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I got to say, my, the day we live in, just wow. But you know what? We have just entered into Holy Week. What that is that's the week started with yesterday, started with Palm Sunday. That's the day where Jesus puts out the palm trees and spreads it on the road. And those who carried it, they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You know, in that great story, that happened yesterday. And then Wednesday is the first day of Passover. There are some scholars who say, one group, they claim that Jesus was actually, they claim that Jesus was actually crucified on Wednesday night, like very late Wednesday night. Because of the idea that he was on the cross for three full days, three full nights. Here in this country, Good Friday. I'm not going to get into all the calendar stuff with you tonight, but tonight it's just going to be an overview. I'll read Luke 22 to you, and then we'll talk about what happened as we go through this week. Tomorrow night, I want to talk about the five times Jesus shed his blood, and what does that represent? Wednesday, I want to talk about seven sayings of Jesus. The seven sayings that Jesus said, like at the Last Supper, as well as before he got put on the cross. Because these seven sayings are also very important. Not just the times Jesus shed his blood. And every time Jesus shed his blood, he bought something for you and me. He paid the price so we could be healed. He paid the price. He paid the price so we could be saved. He paid the price so we could be delivered. So, and that all relates to sozo. Sozo means S-O-Z-O. Sozo means saved, healed, and delivered. What we're going to be doing this week. And even though right now it's a scary time, you know what? We get to celebrate this week that Jesus is alive. And obviously your church is going to do what your church is going to do for Easter, whether it be an online service, a parking lot service, whatever it be they choose to do. And then obviously we'll have food in that. I know what I want. I want a nice ham, some potatoes, rolls, and let me think here. One of them there, some of that there, vanilla pudding with wafers. Someone made it for me last year. I think I might add some ice cream in it too, I forget. But It was some good stuff. And so, praise God. But, you know, I want to thank you for joining us today. And I will give you a few reminders. But one of the things is we need to keep praying. They're saying this week will be one of the toughest weeks of this whole thing because of predictions that have been made. However, but God, and you choose, you believe what you believe. That's up to you. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says we are healed, says I am free. The report says victory. I've heard a report that says that in mid-April, for those of you who don't know this, there are 8 days to Passover. Wednesday through Saturday before Easter, and then Monday to Thursday after Easter. Easter Sunday is not a part of the Passover. But according to a certain prediction I heard, that near the end of Passover, we're going to see a huge shift. And it's going to start going down rapidly, according to one thing I've heard from a good Christian who has seen from the Lord, that's what it feels, that God has showed him. This person the president has said that in April it would go way down. And he said that in February. Remember, Donut, when he said that in February? So in Jesus' name, listeners, that I pray he's right. Maybe he had been briefed the same thing that God had told this person. So, but regardless, I believe the report of the Lord regardless. And I don't want this to continue. God doesn't want this to continue because this path that we're on, same thing with these other countries, it is unsustainable. Kind of economic stuff, what's going on, not sustainable. So we need to believe God. We got leaders right now that are being like doctors rather than letting the doctors be the doctors. The doctors need to be the doctors. The government leaders need to be the government leaders. I'm not going to take the time and get into all the nitty-gritty about all this because I focus a lot more on the scriptures, and also I don't really get usually into politics so much. So I will not. But that being said, we do need to pray. We need to pray. First of all, we need to call this virus dead. We need to curse this virus. Second of all, we need to curse this demon. Call it stupid. Call it Quran. Call it whatever you want to call it. I like calling it Quran. What it is this demon that's caused all this fear in people, all this fear in our government officials, all this fear you know, I love things not knowing what's going to happen. And so all because they don't know, maybe. So they'd lock down everything. And we need to curse that. All, we need to pray for the economy, that it comes back swiftly. We need to pray also for the healthcare workers, those on the front lines, the doctors, the nurses, the EMTs, the all different frontline workers that work with the medical, all those different, and we need to pray that God leads them and directs them. There's one I haven't been saying lately. I haven't really been saying this, but I'm going to say it. Pray over your pastor. Pray over our pastors. We have to. The fact so many pastors, churches, will not be having in-person Easter service this year hurts a lot of pastors' hearts. It really does. On Easter Sunday, in a lot of churches, it's one of the it's one of the fullest Sunday services there are of the year. It's usually the case at my church. And so we really just need to pray over our pastors that they know what to do. And listeners, let me tell you something. If you go to a local church, you need to pay your tithes and offerings. You need to make sure you keep up your tithes and offerings. There's been a prediction that says that 40% of churches in America would not make it. In Jesus' name, that's not the case. In Jesus' name, that's not the case. So that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to give our tithes and offerings. And so, like I said, we need to pray. Another thing I want you to do, read Psalm 23 every day out loud to your family. Then sometimes also go ahead and read Psalm 91. Another thing, some point throughout the day, just take a minute and lift your hands up to heaven and curse that virus and everything behind it. Because the plan of the enemy is wrong. The plan of God is so much greater than the plan of the enemy. I know it for sure. I don't even have to ask. I know for sure. The plan of God is so much greater. It's not an I guess so, I know so. Amen. So, we're going to pray over that. Then I'm going to be done with this stuff for the night and lighten it up a bit. Heavenly Father, I come to you before we come before you tonight here at Miracle Man Show. I curse this coronavirus in the name of Jesus. I claim that the spirit behind this whole thing is broken. No more deaths, no more cases. But I claim, Lord God, that you would, your hand would be made manifest on the situation. I thank you, Lord God, that you would heal our land. this country, in this world. I curse this demon behind this thing, this Koran, stupid, and everything behind it, and everything being closed including churches. Many places, churches are closed. Thank you, Lord God, that I bind that demon in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the economy. I claim that the economy will come back. Thank you, Jesus, for demand for goods and services. Thank you for money coming into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I truly believe it, Lord God. And now, Lord God, I thank you for those on the front lines, the doctors, the nurses, EMTs, anesthesiologists, all these people that are dealing with this thing. Thank you that they, in the name of Jesus, I claim that they have everything that they need. I thank you that may some of these doctors who are saved, some of these nurses, may they lead patients to Christ. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And now, Lord God, I thank you for... Now, listeners, this is when you should pray over your pastor. I thank you for my pastor, Dr. Barclay. I thank you that your hand is upon him. I thank you that his soul is at peace. I pray that his soul would stay at peace with this whole thing. And though I know his heart is hurt right now about what's going on, that we can't meet together. Thank you, Lord God, that he would just be at peace. Thank you, Lord God, that you're using him. He was born for such a time as this. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Couple things real quick. I want you to go to McDonald's real quick when you get a chance and grab yourself one of the good deals that's on the McDonald's app, including my favorite, Dollar Off Large Fry. Always my favorite one. And then there's another one. I mean, there's some other ones I like, but Dollar Off Large Fry is my favorite. Also, you can go through McDonald's and grab yourself any size Coke for a dollar all day, every day. That's how it works. Also, a reminder, Friday at DQ, Blizzard Day. Yes, don't you need one? Yes. The cheesecake one, maybe. Yes. You know you do. And so, yeah. So on Friday, go to your local DQ, grab yourself a nice cold Blizzard for a great low price. And... it's always yummy and good. Those blizzards really are. And I'm always excited about Blizzard Day. Now, listeners, first of all, I want to encourage you to be a part. A couple minutes, I'm going to sing. If you know the lyrics, sing along. When I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. I study the Bible. You study along with us. And we're going to have it. And that's the way you're going to get the most out of the show, listeners, is if you participate. If you're not listening, if you're not participating, you're not going to get as much from the program tonight. So I want you to get everything you can out of this. I really do. And so you can get the most out of it if you participate. Also, listeners, I want to encourage you to please tell those you know how they can be a part of the show. The best way to be a part is to call in. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Whether you're going to listen in or you want to talk to me. And you can talk to me generally about anything you want to talk about. So after you call in, you'll press 1. And then my assistant will let me know that we have a caller. And then we'll go from there. I'll take your call and you can have at it. All right. Going to sing a couple songs. And first one's going to be Oh Happy Day. Greatest day in history. Death is beaten. You have won the day. Celebrate. Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave. You have won the day. Celebrate. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day. Happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, meeting face to face, celebrate, I am yours. Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way. You have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way. Yeah. Oh, happy day. Happy day. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day. Happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. I will never be the same. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. What can wash me white as snow? What cometh the friends of God? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty plains I heard upon this earth. Slowly we approach earthly confidence. Solely by your blood can wash away my sin. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us white as snow? What cometh the friend of God? Nothing but the blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's your blood, it's your blood, King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come to you tonight near the start of Holy Week, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross, but then 3 days later, you rose from the dead for us, Jesus. You did that for us, Jesus. And so glad to call you Lord and Savior. Pain, all discouragement, all frustration, but leave us right now. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, thank you, Lord God, that as we study your word, Lord God, that we would learn something tonight. In Jesus' matchless name. And I thank you, Lord God. I make my confession over this program. I thank you that in your name, Jesus, that sponsors and partners come into this program. I thank you that increases in listenership come to this program. I thank you that finances come in. Most importantly, Lord God, I thank you most of all for that huge increase and souls coming into the kingdom of God in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22. Again, this is the review. What all happened to Jesus? What all happened? We're going to go to Luke 22. Verse 1. We just
Sorry, I spot you.
No, it's not going to be Twitter. Actually, let's start with the Last Supper. 22:7. 22:7. When we start here, it's the day of unleavened bread. Luke 22:7 NIV. Then came the day of unleavened bread, where the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." In other words, go to the Passover prep, guys. What do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room so that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished and ready. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and the apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is of mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays me." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings are Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves, and who is greater, the one who is at the table, or the one who serves. Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. For I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. Turn the page. He said to them, but now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you, this much must be fulfilled. What is written about me is breaking its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That's enough, he replied. Verse 39, Jesus sent out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On taking the place, he said to them, pray that you do not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond him knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Not as I will, but as your will be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and the sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Jesus said, why are you asleep? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was calling Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. He touched the man's ear and healed him right there. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and the elders who had come with him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you, in the temple courts. You did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. I'm turning the page. Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat among them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closer at him and said, "This man was with him." And Peter said, "Hey, Shemiqua." Wait a minute. Did he say that? Or do you not think he said that? Oh. The servant girl said to him, "This man was with him." He denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another assumed, "Certainly, this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean," Peter replied. "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord that had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. He went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him, demanded prophesy, many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. If I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right in saying I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." So, what on earth happened? Well, so, let's back it up to yesterday. Yesterday, Palm Sunday, and Jesus and his disciples, they're going to Bethphage, near the Mount of Olives, and so Jesus tells the disciples, "When you get near the Mount of Olives, near Bethany, you'll find a colt tied there. And when you see it, people will ask, 'Why are you carrying the colt?' If anyone asks, the disciples were to say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Or they would say, "Yeah, the Lord needs it." And so they did just as Jesus had commanded. There, people placed their cloaks on the road, and then others bought palm trees and branches, spread them on the road. People who bought the palm trees, those who followed, they all shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is the kingdom of our Father that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That was what they shouted. And that was Palm Sunday. Then Jesus goes into the temple, and he sees merchants set up, and he says, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, but you folks are making it a den of thieves and robbers." And he throws all those merchants out the house of throws out all the money changers, all the benches of those who stole doves, all of them, all the t-shirt sellers. Remember right now that they had t-shirts back then. Even if there was a McDonald's, he drove out the McDonald's. But he drove them out. He said, "My house is a house of prayer." To go to pray. It's a place to go to hear the word of God preached. Not a place to go to buy everything under the sun, from soup to nuts. Everything under the sun. And then teachers of the law, when they heard the kids shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna, the son of David," they were indignant. They didn't understand what was going on. They weren't too happy. And then Jesus had to explain it to them. Now, this is the rest of what happened. In chapter 22, Bruce and they are all sitting there at that table. Jesus tells them, while they're eating supper, the Last Supper, "One of you, 12, will betray me." And so they're all sitting there. They're all wondering, "Hope it's not me. It must be me." And I'm basically like, "You wouldn't betray me, would you? Would you betray me? Maybe you would. I don't know." That's just what they're all sitting there thinking. And then Jesus is sitting there with his disciples, and they're having a supper. That wonderful Last Supper. Just fixing this. We just make sure we're fixed. Sorry about that. Just trying to see what on earth it is that's going on. Oh, Oh, good. Now it's on. We're back, listeners. Well, praise God. Now, as I was saying a minute ago, Jesus and his disciples, they're sitting there and they're having that dinner, that Last Supper. He tells them, one of you sitting here, you're going to betray me. They're all sitting there, and they're all going, Peter, is it you?
No.
What, you, John? James? Bartholomew? Barth? What, Judas? And then Judas is the one who ends up betraying Jesus. Then he tells Peter, now Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me. You will deny me 3 times. Then they go about having their communion together. Take, eat, Jesus said. This is my body. Jesus said, as often as you take communion, as often as you take communion, do it in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of me, everything I did for you. Do not take communion and try to make it in remembrance of all the stuff you've done, particularly the bad stuff that you've done. That's why you're going to do it. Don't take it. Don't take it if that's the case. Don't take it. Listen, listeners, if you have aught against a brother or a sister in the kingdom of God, then either the rest of us should wait on you to get that fixed, or you just not partake until you get it fixed. That's like basically a biblical requirement. That the rest of you, the rest of us should wait. Either we wait for you to get it fixed, or you don't partake until you get it fixed. And Jesus said, as often as you take communion, do this in remembrance of me, not in remembrance of yourself. So, I tell you, man, communion is important. You know, the cross, supposed to be, listen, parents with kids, your kids should not be sitting there thinking, that it's cracker and juice time. Even though the elements that we use, like at my church, is a little piece of cracker and juice. Now, some people might want to use coconut donut as communion, but I wouldn't advise it. I would, as much as I totally enjoy Cokes and donuts, I would not break that off and the little portions of those two things up and call that communion, because the donut has leaven in it. And the Coca-Cola has carbonation in it. And the fruit of the vine did not have carbonation in it. Or did it? See? That's why you can't have coconut donut for communion. Even though sometimes it might be a little tempting, but I've always chosen to not do that. A coconut donut for communion. A little piece of a donut, a little sip of Coke. 2 sips of Coke in the communion cup. Just do that on Easter Sunday. So they give, but Actually, Bible school, those of you listeners who have been to SMCI, you would know this. He basically said, now, ushers, deacons, don't go out and buy, replace the crackers for the communion with donuts and replace the grape juice with orange juice. He actually said that. That would be funny, though. Orange juice in a donut. I would make it a peanut butter and jelly donut if I did it with donuts. It'd be a, because aren't peanut butter and jelly units some of the best? Yeah. You know they are. But anyhow, he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And about the drink, he said, this is my blood. And then later on, he goes to pray. He goes to the Mount of Olives, which is often his prayer spot. And he goes there and he prays. He says, and then he's all weary. An angel of the Lord strengthens him. When he goes back to his disciples, they're asleep. Jesus tells them, pray that you don't fall into temptation. They got up and prayed. And then Jesus comes back to Jesus. I mean, Jesus goes, he sees Judas. Judas tries to kiss him, and Jesus says, Judas, are you trying to betray me with a kiss? And then, so he betrayed him right there. Now, here's the problem with Judas, listeners. Judas, see, had two vocabularies, two sets of clothes, two sets of friends, possibly two different Facebooks. I mean, one was a good Facebook, the other was a de-Facebook. back then there weren't no social medias, but I imagine if there were some back then, it's what he would have done, I'm sure. Because he, like I said, two different sets of friends, two different vocabularies. Judas, listeners, see, was exactly what we are not supposed to be. He absolutely had one foot in the world, totally had one foot in with Jesus. And he was so good at being both. But then, in the end, he fails. He betrays Jesus instead of betraying the world. He decides to betray Jesus, and that doesn't help him so well. Then Peter, they go to the courtyard, Jesus and the disciples do, and then they all go in there and they're all sitting at the courtyard. Servant girl comes up and asks him, sir, aren't you one of those who serve Jesus? Peter says, nope. Another person, a little while later, well, Peter, you look to be one of them. You're Galilean. Nope. An hour later, another guy says, surely you follow this Jesus guy. He says, sir, I don't know what you're talking about. What on earth are you talking about? That's what he said. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what he said. Exactly what he said. I don't know what you are talking about. And Rooster Crows, right there. And then, here what happens. Now, later on, Peter goes on to write the later books of the New Testament. Peter and Paul, both. Paul had been a persecutor of Jesus early on. But then he got it right with God. But towards the end of the chapter, somebody had their ear cut off. And then Jesus touches their ear, heals them right there, which he would have done anyway. And he basically tells them, well, I'll strike with the sword, but then you get into chapter 23. Now, tomorrow night, when we're going to talk about Jesus shedding his blood, and I'm going on to the cross, you'll know that they asked people, the chief priest, the teachers of the law, now that they all decide to ask all the people gathered there, who should we release to you? Jesus, who is the Christ? Or should we release to you Barabbas, who is a murderer and was in prison, in fact, for insurrection and murder? They all say, Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And then they all ask, they ask the people, then what should we do with Jesus? Crucify him. For what crime? Well, in the eyes of the teachers of the law, they said, he didn't commit a crime. But you want to know why he was put on there? Because he loved us. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood there for you and me, so that we could live for him, so that we could have a covenant with Jesus, so that we didn't have to kill an animal anymore in order to talk to God. Because back in the day, you had to go get animals from the flock and do all these different things and all these other things just to talk to God. Oh, and if you had done a sin and wanted it forgiven, you had to do 5 yoke of oxen and a donkey and all these other things and get it from lambs a year old and all these different specifications, and I don't have the time to get into all of it. But Jesus put an end to all of this and made it so that we could repent directly to Jesus when we sin. Take note of something, listeners. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could continue to sin. No! He died so that we could be free from our sins. not freedom to go out and do it. Do that thing. By the way, John, Jesus had told one of the people that he healed, go and sin no more. So that nothing worse will come upon you. He didn't say, go and sin some more. Nope. Go and sin no more. That's what he told him. And so, when this blood that was shed 5 different times, we're going to get into what all those times were and also give you verses. I'll read you some of those verses tomorrow night. Same thing with the 7 saints on Wednesday night. Going to give you some verses for them. The verses of each of the 7 different sayings that Jesus said. So he was on the cross and getting ready to be put on the cross. I do these 7 sayings every year because I want you to make sure you remember. And it's one of my favorites. Because Easter is one of the most important holidays of the year for Christians. That and Christmas. I'm not belittling Christmas at all. But both of them are big, big time. And on Good Friday, at my church, we're going to do an outdoor parking lot service. But Good Friday wasn't so good for Jesus. Nope. That's when he was crucified, put there on that cross. One of the things he said was, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They had no idea what they were doing. They were, because they were calling for him to be crucified and all the other stuff, and he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But as a result of everything Jesus did for us, death was arrested, and our life began. I'm so glad about that. That death was arrested, and our life began. And we were made free. Free to worship God. Not free to sin and do everything our own way and all this other stuff and all these other things. Nope. Freedom to serve the Lord. Joshua, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's exactly how it is with me. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. And so, you see, Peter, it was prophesied that he would do what he did and deny Jesus. We might not know all the things maybe that caused him to do all that, but we know that he did it. We also know that later he wrote all those books of the Bible in the New Testament. And so, how about this communion thing, you guys? Jesus said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And he said, not as I will, but your will be done. Meaning, not I will, but the will of God be done in us. And so when you take these elements, now my church, we're going to do communion on Sunday evening. Yeah, Resurrection Day evening. It's called Resurrection Day because that was the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And he is alive. And so, believe the Last Supper was either Wednesday or Thursday. And of course, the Passover, they did in the upper room. Jesus told those disciples instructions, and they told him what he had to say. I mean, he told them what they were to say and do. That he told them, now, guys, listen up here. You're going to go to this room house. And he's going to ask you something. And you guys are supposed to ask him, where is the guest room so that I may eat with my disciples? Eat the Passover with my disciples. And then the guy goes and shows him a large upper room, furnished, ready. So they all go up there to that upper room and they eat together. By the way, that eat the whole Passover lamb, not just the part you like. Can't just eat the part of the lamb you like. God eats the whole thing. I know some people will be like, I just want the salty part. That must be me. So, you know, the part that's nice and salty and juicy, don't want the dry stuff. I know. I don't like meat that's super dry and unsalted. Do you? I know I don't. It's super dry and or not salty at all. No. If it's nice and crunchy on the outside and all that, that's how I like it. That's how I love it. Don't you? Like nice and sweet, like nice and wonderful chicken McNuggets. Y'all. They had to eat all the lamb, not just the part they liked. Can't just eat the part of the lamb you like. They had to eat the whole thing. It's not supposed to be with us listeners in the Word of God. You got to read the whole thing, not just the parts you like and agree with. So glad that I think it deserves a real God, the true God, and not just. I'm so glad that Jesus is not just a figment of my imagination. And by the way, listeners, you can accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior right now. Jesus died on the cross so we could live. Jesus died so we could stand here today without shame, without pain. What do we do for him? We're supposed to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We are the baptized. We are the blood washed. We are the fire baptized. We are. Yes, we are. We are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that for this week. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you did for us, everything you bought and paid for as a result of everything you went through. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for sports real quick. Let me just, Fox Sports Detroit has decided that on certain dates throughout the month of April, they are going to be filling the void by featuring some classics, some Detroit era classics. One of them will be some different Stanley Cup finals, one from 97, one from 98. One of the 2004 Detroit Pistons home games, playoff games, and then one of the Tiger games from 1999, the end of Tiger Stadium. So, very different games that you'll be able to watch there on Fox Sports Detroit. And I've been listening to 97.1, and they've been featuring a different Tiger game every night. And I think that's pretty cool that they've been doing that, going over some of the classic games. And I really hope that soon we'll be able to get back to sports, with fans, without fans, whatever. Until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.